This is the PC Gamer Podcast, episode 146 for August 28th, 2008.
We don't have Shavat Yearly from Crytek this week like we said we would because he hurt his foot, but we do have some news on NVIDIA and a whole load of listener questions, so stick around. I'm your host, Dan Stapleton, and on the show today we have our executive editor, Logan Decker.
Hello.
Former editor-in-chief and Backspace columnist, Gary Whitta, is podcasting through some pain.
Hello.
very meek through a horse throat there, Gary.
Yeah, I'm a little bit under the weather. You might hear me coughing and being generally kind of hoarse during this podcast.
Don't see the Colbert Report on I think it was Tuesday?
Yeah, he was in rough shape, man.
Yeah, he sounded completely different. So at least we can recognize Gaz's voice today. And I guess Logan's also coughing stuff up right and left, aren't you?
It's gross.
Yeah.
I'll call out the colors as I see them.
We've also got our former intern, Andy Salisbury.
Glad I'm up here where there's not a lot of sick people. Another personal.
In the quarantine zone. And our loyal producer, Andy Bauman.
Yeah. Oh, that reminds me, Logan, I saw Doomsday. Finally.
How great was that?
Oh my goodness.
I told you.
Great movie.
Thank you. God.
Yeah.
I might have to chime in and reduce it from genius to somewhat entertaining.
Oh.
From the man who brought us The Descent.
Yeah.
How could it miss?
I'm a huge Neil Marshall fan.
Now it's you've seen Dog Soldiers?
Oh, yeah.
Of course.
Of course.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Fantastic. And for anyone who's listening out there, if you Netflix it, make sure you get the unrated version because that's where all the viscera and stuff is to be found. I gotta say, I'm pretty disappointed. I always thought, you know, that I would be one of the people who survived the whole apocalyptic
virus.
Plague.
Yeah.
That swept the world and then left only a handful of survivors to fight off the dead. But I don't think I'm going to be one of those people because I always get sick when everyone else does.
That
sucks. You know, I always thought I was going to be one of those people with a shotgun, you know, sitting in the watchtower. And
well, Logan, so you can't have a zombie apocalypse unless somebody is the zombie. Okay.
Well, I know, but I thought I was going to be one of the.
You would be doing your part for the zombie apocalypse by trying to
be.
By trying to devour our brains.
I don't want to be one of those. Just one of the hoi polloi fuck. Zombies. Ooh, excuse me. you know, I thought I was so, just...
So, Logan, when Left 4 Dead comes out, you can just play as the zombies in practice. All right?
Consider it a simulator. And I'll be the human.
I saw this really good movie on the Sci-Fi Channel over the weekend. It was called Flu Bird Horror. I don't know if any of you guys caught it.
I saw the name of that, and I just couldn't get past it. Was it good?
Well, it's one of those, you know, they do these things like Mansquito, you know, these original movies that they make where they're all kind of creature features. Mansquito. And it was a bunch of, like, troubled teens out in the woods who had been, like, released from juvie with, like, a camp counselor whose job it was to try and, you know, get them to reform themselves. But as luck would have it, there was a bunch of birds flying around that had been mutated by this kind of rare strain of the avian flu virus. So it was all kind of, like, ripped from tomorrow's headlines. And they've been turned into these kind of CGI flesh-eating pterodactyls.
Nice.
And they killed, you know, all the people. And it was cool. And, you know, when you kind of got bitten by one of the birds, you know, they passed the flu on to you. And it started off with, like, the sniffles. And then, you know, your skin started to fall off and you would die. It's pretty scary.
Oh, see, that's horrible when you're a teenager and your skin falls off.
So embarrassing.
No, and everybody makes fun of you and you can't get a date. And
yeah, it can be rough. I've had
a proactive get you out of that one.
Yeah. did one of the teenagers learn leadership skills and all that? Is that what
it was all somewhat predictable. There was like one character who was kind of obviously like the lead guy, but he was a bit of an anti-hero. He was kind of the bad boy in the leather jacket. But by the end, he had kind of grown up and changed through his experience, and he ended up being the one who kind of stayed behind with like the big tank of gasoline to blow up the birds. So he sacrificed himself to save all the others. It was good. That, definitely some.
You mean
the
one really needed to survive, you know, and actually go lead the world or whatever.
If you want to check it out, I recommend it. I'm sure the Sci-Fi Channel will be showing it more and more. It's called Flu Bird Horror. You should check your local listings.
Did you learn something as a writer from that movie, Cass?
A lot more than I could fit in this podcast. I tell you.
Wow. What not to do?
TiVo that up.
It was, makes it, because a few days later, I'd wonder if it's, like a psychosomatic thing where, I watch this movie and then a few days later, I worry if, I've got the flu bird horror now.
How is your skin, guys? Is it falling off yet?
No worse than usual. But, who knows what's going to happen.
Wait till he shaves the next time. Just the whole chin will come off.
The funny thing about it was they clearly tried to make it sound like it was based in, they had obviously gone on Wikipedia and looked up avian flu and written some of that into the script. But I don't know what the version of avian flu is that completely turns the birds into what look like, these 10-foot tall flesh-eating pterodactyls. I mean, that's some serious flu.
It's a pretty rare strain, I understand.
I guess that's the horror part.
Yeah.
As all you guys out there can probably tell by our discussion of the avian flu horror, or what was it, bird flu horror?
Flu. This is the funny thing about it. You can actually arrange the title in any way you want, and it's still okay. You can have horror flu birds, bird flu horror, flu bird horror. It really doesn't matter.
Yeah. Flu bird, that's one of my favorite songs.
Yeah. So as you can tell by our discussion of the whatever it's called movie, it's kind of a slow week for gaming news, and we've got a couple of people out of the office, so we're just going to cover what there is and then lean heavily on questions that you listeners have generously supplied us with. Item number one is an announcement by NVIDIA that they're going to support native SLI on the new Intel chipset.
Excuse me.
Can we get a color on that one? Can we get a color?
Yeah, I just, wow. That's gross.
Was it mauve?
Oh, I don't know, because I had to choke it back down. Anyway. At least I won't have to have lunch. Anyway, this is great news for gamers because it's actually kind of huge. Now, basically, NVIDIA is letting go of their control of SLI motherboards, and they're saying, hey, anybody, Intel can do it now, and this will give us a lot of choices down the road when the motherboards with the new chipset start kind of seeding out into the wild. And,
so anybody can do it. In theory, AMD could make a SLI motherboard if they were crazy.
Sure. Actually, I don't know about AMD right now. The announcement is only for Intel chipsets, specifically the X58 chipset. And this is important. This does not mean that you'll be able to do SLI natively on X48, X38, or other Intel chipsets. Anything earlier than the X58 chipset, it won't be retroactive to other motherboards. So this is only a forward-looking thing, but you will be able to SLI on Intel motherboards with the X58 chipset and beyond. So that's great. It's more choices.
Yeah. With that in mind, it's kind of hard for me to understand why NVIDIA didn't do this earlier. It's like, please don't give people the technology to buy more of our graphics cards.
Yeah, they wanted to, they wanted big chipset business. Right. And some people are wondering, does this mean they're throwing in the towel with chipsets? Does this mean they're going to stop making chipsets? Who knows?
Yeah, it's kind of hard to believe they would give up on it. I mean, there's so many Enforce boards out there.
It's hard to believe unless they wanted to do a big turn in a different direction, whatever direction that would be, who knows?
Right.
But this is a huge win for gamers, though, because I love Intel motherboards. It's been very frustrating not being able to SLI on them. So,
I know I never really use SLI anyway, just because I've got multiple monitors, and it always pisses me off that SLI does not support multiple monitors. You got two cards in there. You got four ports. You can only use one of them.
Yeah, there are operating system issues with that as well, though, that need to be ironed out. It's really that is a bad problem, though. And hybrid SLI, we're still waiting for that, where you can use, you know, different cards and SLI them together. Although no matter what, even though hybrid SLI will eventually come, probably sooner rather than later, both cards will ratchet down to the speed of the slower card.
Right. So if you have a GTX 280 and a 9600 GTX or 9800 GTX, they would run at the speed of two 9800 GTXs.
Yeah. And you'll still get a boost, but
right. Which well that probably wouldn't be much of a boost over the performance of the one GTX 280.
Probably not. No.
Yeah. So you gotta have to choose wisely in order to.
But it's still nice to be, you know, you can buy a video card without having to buy, like, you know, you can go onto eBay and buy an old 8600 and get, you know, a couple percentage point boost off that or something like that.
Right. It's always nice to have the options. I doubt
exactly.
I'd be using that.
You know, it's just more choices, always better.
Right. So I guess the other bit of information is that this weekend is the Penny Arcade Expo up in Seattle. Andy, former intern Andy, you're going to that, right?
Yeah, I'm really excited. Actually, I've never been, and I'm going to go hopefully hang out with Norm and the famous Captain Spaulding while I'm up there. Yeah. So
and Evan will be there too. I was going to go, but I had to cancel because my girlfriend's mom is getting married. So and I turns out I'm not allowed to miss that. So
you and Kristen just using marriages to get out of anything.
Yeah, I actually have to go to two weddings on one day this Saturday.
Wow.
I'm wondering if anybody's going to notice if I have headphones in. Would that tip anyone off, do you think?
Just sit there and watch The Daily Show and stuff.
Yeah. what are you looking forward to about PAX, Andy?
You know, there's really just a lot that I've been thinking about, and it's mostly, I think, the fact that I haven't been. Because the first real convention that I've been able to go to, even though this is an expo, so it's entirely different, but I kind of put them in the same boat because I'm a noob like that. It's just that I've never been. I'm just really excited to go see everything and just, you know, hang out with other nerds and that, and just, you know, get to see Norm and just anybody else that's up there, hang out with them again. It's been a while.
Ken Levine is giving the keynote. I'm sure that'll be interesting.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, he's a really interesting guy to listen to. But, I'm bummed I don't get to go.
You guys should get together with Norm and all the future Team Future guys from the TF2 server. I know there's a contingency headed up there, and leave us a message on the voicemail box and, you know, give us an update live from PAX.
That would be really cool. Yeah. I'll be trying to cover some of it, like, on my Twitter and stuff, but, you know, I can only do so much with that.
You know the phone number, Andy.
I do.
Don't let us down.
I'll be sure and pass that along. I'll let them all know that we need to do that, because I think that'd be really fun.
Yeah, so I guess that's about all the news we've got right now, which is kind of sad.
And did you read this business about pro gamers are doping? It was fantastic. There was an interview with the director of World Cyber Games Tournament who was conceding that, yeah, gamers, you know, they
juicing?
They do all kinds of stuff before tournaments, and he was actually saying they can do anything they want as long as it's not happening on the floor in the actual tournament area.
Do they have rules against like taking?
He says they do not the World Cyber Games Tournament.
Well, I mean, but like on the floor, I mean, you're not.
No,
allowed,
absolutely not. Absolutely
you're not allowed
not.
To have a Red Bull on the floor. Is that the idea?
Well, Red Bull, I don't think that counts.
Yeah, are they talking about like controlled substances here or what?
They're talking about controlled and illegal substances.
Right.
Although just the idea that somebody can do a bong hit and play better is apparently a lot more common than I think.
Really? I thought that only applied to like snowboarding.
Well, it makes sense, I mean, though.
But you know, to me, it doesn't. I mean, not that I've done anything like that in the past, but if I had, I would imagine I'd be paralyzed.
Well, it's like
minute amount, and yet there are people who seem to actually get their reflexes get better. Who are these strange alien creatures?
Maybe they just like calm down and get more in the zone, and you know, I can't imagine it helps their reflexes any.
I think there's stuff that just like it helps you focus. You know, like there's those like medicines. I don't know the names, even though
Ritalin,
just stuff like that. Yeah, that you can just take and it'll, you know, slow down your breathing and stuff, and you can just think a lot easier than you would if you were just, like, panicking in the moment. So it's probably stuff along those lines, if I had to guess.
We do this. Do not construe this as an endorsement in any way for the Ritalin and Adderall set out there. Just want to drop that in there.
Yeah, and it
but, yeah, quite amazed by all that.
It seems like a long way to go for yeah. playing a game. Yeah.
You know, they've got a prescription drug out there now called modafinil. Have you heard of it?
No.
It's apparently it's a modafinil. M O D A F I. Did you hear him?
Oh, I was like, daffodils. What?
But apparently, snorting daffodils gives you a major advantage in Team Fortress. Well,
I was reading about it at my mom's house, of all places, in Reader's Digest. You know, she has them littered all over the house, and it apparently takes away temporarily your need to sleep without side effects. So it's huge.
That was, yeah, that was one of those things the military was working on.
Yeah. And it, but now it's like you can. It's a common prescription now.
Hmm. Why would a doctor prescribe less sleep?
You know what? There's a specific reason for it, but I can't remember what it is. But it's pretty amazing.
Camping out Al Qaeda.
But it doesn't. It's not like coffee. It's not like a stimulant. It doesn't make you jittery or anything like that. It just suddenly you're not sleepy anymore. Hmm. And you know, one can imagine.
You know what's weird? Is those little 5-hour energy drinks, the like just the little shots or whatever they are. I remember when I was driving on my initial move back from San Francisco to Washington, I drank one of those and it wasn't that I felt wired. I just didn't feel like I needed sleep. Like I just felt completely normal. So I don't know, maybe it's already among us.
You know, I don't think that gamers
really long drive sometimes. And I had found myself stopping at gas stations and drinking Red Bulls, and they never do anything. I did try out those. I was stopped at a truck stop one time, you know, one of those really big ones at the on the freeway that the truckers stop at, and I bought a couple of Red Bulls, and the guy looked at me and said, "You do you have a long drive?" I said, "Yeah." He said, "You don't want that," and instead he gave me those little 5-hour energy, like those little bullet size drinks that you see. Those are, I mean, I can't speak to how healthy they make you. I don't think they're necessarily a good thing for your health, but they work better than the Red Bulls did. They'll jack you up.
I didn't feel jacked up.
It made me very, very talkative. Like I did have a lot of energy. I went from being kind of like super quiet and just kind of tired to like, you know, going, I felt like I was talking at 100 miles an hour. And there's,
yeah,
I mean, there
talkative.
Some,
that's so uncharacteristic.
Scary warnings on the bottle, you know, because the two basic things that are in there is just loads of caffeine and niacin, and I'm not sure how niacin is meant to keep you awake, but it's one of the big heavy ingredients in it. And they warn you that after you drink one of these, your skin may become very flushed and red as the niacin in the drink is stimulating the blood near, you know, the capillaries in your skin.
Wow. So you may suffer skin failure, is what you're saying.
Yeah, you may have catastrophic skin failure, or you know, just you know, extreme redness. Yeah. But it did work. I took a couple with me when I went home to England because I could never sleep on the plane and I always feel super super jet lagged. So I drank one of the 5-hour extreme ones because they have them now, like the extreme variant, which I guess is like more caffeine and more niacin. And I took one after I got off the plane, and it, you know, it kept me going so that I could stay awake through the rest of the day, you know, and not go to bed until, you know, what would have been the correct time. So, I mean, you know, again, I'm sure that 10 years from now people are going to start dropping dead, and there'll be a big, you know, lawsuit or something. But for right now, if you're not really taking the long view, you're just concerned about getting through the day as opposed to getting through the rest of your life.
Now here's what I don't get, because I don't think that, you know, as a gamer I never have trouble like staying awake when I'm playing a game. I don't have trouble staying alert because, like, I mean, just last night I was playing Colonization until 2 a.m. because I just got caught up in it, and you know, the curse you Sid Meier for for, you know, that one more turn thing. But I was like, I was gonna go to bed so early last night and get so much sleep, and no.
Well, yeah, I mean, the game itself can be the drug, but when you cross that line that you often do when you're playing like an MMO, I think I've told this story before about the guy who's one of the guys in my old Warcraft guild who was the first guy to hit 70 on our server. His name was Strongbad, and he was a serious, serious player. I think he got maybe 10 hours of sleep in the entire week where, you know, he went from like, you know, 65 to 70, and he stayed up drinking Mountain Dew MDX. And just as many kind of like high fructose corn syrup, sugary foods as he could. And again, I'm not sure what the long-term health effects of that are, but you know, he was like talking to a corpse by the end of it. He was, you know, you could hear his voice degrading as he went, you know, because you'd be on TeamSpeak, and as each subsequent day, like, people would come on, you know, anytime you'd log on, you see he was online. He's like, "Dude, Strongbad, how much sleep have you had?" He goes, "Oh, 2 hours last night, but I hit 68 and it's like, "Man, you got to stop playing this game."
So it went from TeamSpeak to Team Grunt.
Yes.
Yeah, that's appalling.
It's not good.
I don't know. I will fall asleep because, you know, what'll happen is I'll be really into a game, but then I'll feel like that wave of fatigue. This happened during when I was playing Mass Effect and I was up pretty late. And what I'll do is I'll just go, "Whoa, I feel a little woozy," and I'll put my head down for a second. Out. Wake up 3 hours later, you know, and cat feces all over the floor.
I don't think I have cat feces all over the floor.
Yeah, if the cat gets locked in the room, right. You know.
No, have you ever come close to falling asleep
at the wheel? Well, before I drove, because I learned to drive fairly, like, I didn't learn to drive until I was like 23, 24. Before that, I always thought the idea of falling asleep at the wheel was a myth. Because it's like, well, you know, you're sitting up in a seat, you know, you've got to be alert, you're driving a car, how can you possibly fall asleep at the wheel? But I found myself nearly doing it a couple of times on long overnight drives. That's pretty scary stuff.
My dad.
Pretty close.
He fell asleep at the wheel and nearly killed himself. He ended up dying two years later. But anyway, not from... Yeah, I mean, it happens if you drive a lot, because fatigue just creeps up on you, and before you know it, by the time you're really aware of it, it's too late. And that's why I never, never even get behind... I don't get behind the wheel if I'm even slightly tired, because I know it'll happen to me. Because I'm one of those people, he closes his eyes and then he's out.
Yeah, and Logan could fall asleep during this podcast.
I remember stopping somewhere in the southern part of Washington just as I was crossing the border over, and this is one of my, you know, many drives back and forth. And I had taken the exit off, and I was sitting here waiting at a gas station, and I looked to my right, and across the divider, there's this guy sitting there in his car, and he's looking at me like, "What are you doing?" And I realized that I'm like in the other side of the lane, going, you know, England style. And I'm just like, I was so glad that it was like 3-4 in the morning and there's nobody on the road. And I was like, "Oh man," just pulled up into a gas station. And I was like, "I need to get some energy drinks or something." Just
there's crusted blood all over the tires. Huh, I don't remember.
Have you guys ever like fallen asleep playing a game other than Logan?
Other than Logan. Why do we hear that all the time?
Because you said you did.
I'm usually at a place where I can just go to bed if I'm playing a game. So it's never like, "Man, this is so fun."
Right, but yeah, and have you ever like passed out while like face down on the keyboard?
No, I've come close to, but yeah, I don't know if it's fun a story.
I always kind of just like have as much energy as I need to keep playing. I don't know if I've ever like tried to play for like 24 hours straight, but I've played a lot, like, you know, 8-10 hours at a time, and never like passed out playing a game.
You know, if you are driving sleepy, I do have a great tip for staying awake. I can't remember where I learned this from.
This podcast.
It's fantastic. If you feel sleepy and you think, you know, you're in danger of falling asleep behind the wheel,
shock your testicles.
Yes.
Whoa.
Just take the electrode and just go. Argh. Roll down your window, pull out a $20 bill out of your wallet, and hold it in your hand and hold it out the window as you drive.
that's some genius. Incentive.
Yeah.
Right?
I work a lot of late nights, and I'm super fast to go to sleep, sort of like Logan. Like, I can just go from asleep to not asleep, or the opposite of that. And I found that just snacking a little bit when I'm driving home helps me not nod off. Like, just, you know, have a little crackers or something, and totally helps.
Nom, 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 nom.
A little nom, nom. It goes a long way.
That was awesome.
Everybody, that's why you listen to the very end of the podcast, so you get those great little tidbits to throw in, like the sandwich wrap. That was awesome. Anyway, keep up the great work, guys. Love the show.
That was Captain Spaulding's latest?
Yes, so he took the same beat that Jeremy made him for I'm Your Medic and wrote new lyrics and recorded a new I'm Your Sandwich rap.
That's pretty good.
It's pretty genius, actually.
Did he do the Russian accent?
No, he didn't.
Oh, he's playing the part of the sandwich, not the Russian dude.
Yeah, but I guess just the rapper. Sandwich would be Russian, too, if you think about it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Anyways,
well,
if you
not
can...
necessarily.
You can get the song on his MySpace page. Which just go to myspace.com/PCGamer and you can get to Captain Spaulding from there.
PC Gamer has a MySpace?
Yeah,
myspace.com/PCGamerMagazine.
Didn't know that. I like the whole Super Bonkland meme that seems to be going around now. Have you heard any of these?
No.
I just
they
courtesy
take,
of
they
you,
take,
yes.
They take the kind of the old... There's a bunch of them. They take the old like Mario... themes from the old Mario games, and they sample a bunch of scout bonk and boink sounds over them. And it's kind of hard for me to explain, but if you type in Super Bonk Land into YouTube, a whole bunch of them will come up, and you can have a little musical interlude.
Next question.
Hi, PC Gamer Podcast. This is Matthias McCarthy from Malta, aka DJ Matthias. I have three questions regarding gaming. My first question is it better to get a core to duo or core to quad? My second question is, which OS is a better for gaming, a 32-bit or 64-bit version of XP? My final question is the 9800 GTX Black Edition good for gaming? Thanks for your time. Love the podcast. Out.
Did you get that, Logan?
I got most of it.
Yeah.
And I would say if it's all he brought up was gaming. If it's just for gaming, I don't think a quad is there's just not enough games to take advantage of quad core processors yet to really make it absolutely necessary.
I mean,
if you've got
ones...
the money, it's great. I love them, but I do a lot of video encoding, a lot of other stuff.
Right. And the only games I can think of off the top of my head that really take advantage of quad core are Supreme Commander and Crysis, actually. They use like some kind of frame rate stabilization thing.
And Valve games going forward will use quad cores a lot.
Yeah, I'm sure pretty much everything will going forward.
But you know what? If it's just gaming, you're going to be fine with a Core 2 Duo, and you can save yourself some money that way.
And like sometimes a Core 2 Duo is actually faster because the clock speed is higher. Right.
Yeah. Sometimes. Absolutely.
And if you're not using two of the cores anyway, for most games.
Now, I will say that one reason I love quad cores is more and more I find myself able to do things in the background, more things in the background while I'm gaming. Something that was unthinkable just a few years ago, and that's really nice reason to have a quad core. But you can still do that to a certain extent with a dual core as well.
Right.
I remember this a lot when I was building my system. I think, Logan, I hit you up for advice at the time about whether or not I should get a duo or a quad.
Uh-huh.
And I can't remember what you told me, but I remember I ended up getting I had a choice between a quad that I think was like 2.66 or a duo that had a base clock speed of 3 gigahertz. And I ended up going with the duo because based on what you and others had told me, those extra cores weren't really being used a lot by games, and you're only going to see an improvement.
Today they're still not used that much. Again, Valve will start doing it with their next wave of games, but it hasn't started yet. And they'll be a leader. Other people will copy them, but they haven't even started that stuff yet. So,
So the next part of that question was about 64 versus 32-bit. Windows? 60,
yeah, that's right. 32-bit, again, it's kind of the same principle. 32-bit is fine. You'll find that you'll have less hassles with 32-bit because of hardware compatibility issues. But 64-bit is fantastic for other reasons, for stability and that kind of thing. But
well, stability unless you have driver problems. I'm actually running 64-bit Windows Vista right now at home, which is... I kind of regret it a little bit because, I can't run 16-bit applications anymore at all, whereas 32-bit could. That's just if you're into classic games. Other than that, I have had a little bit of wonkiness with NVIDIA drivers. I think I need to reinstall them, though. I was trying to run GTX 280 and an 8500 just to power a third display, and I put the card in and it freaked out on me. So, and you now it won't go to sleep anymore. So I think I have to reinstall some drivers.
For once, I haven't had problems with the 64-bit OS since I put in 64 at home Vista. But I think I'm unique in that respect because usually I do have horrible problems.
Yeah, I really wish that they would just go all 64-bit all the time. Windows really should. I mean, they haven't made a 32-bit processor in how long? Like 4 or 5 years?
Yeah.
It's like, why would you still make a 32-bit version of your operating system and make people support both?
Still put in like a 32-bit OS with a using virtualization, which is what I do, but it's pretty complicated. You
it's a pain in the ass.
Yeah.
And the main problem that's arisen is that people have to support both the 32-bit and the 64-bit for their drivers. And then, like, they say, oh, most people are on 32-bit, so they prioritize that, and the 64-bit kind of gets left behind a little bit. And that's why you get all these problems, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, so...
So knowing nothing else about this guy's situation or what he uses his computer for, I would say if it's just for gaming, stick with 32-bit. You'll be fine.
Yeah.
You know, you're not missing out on this, you know, incredible 64-bit gaming experience.
Right, right. I haven't noticed any significant performance differences since switching.
Crysis is the only one I think that's really got – no. Company of Heroes, Poison Forces, I think is
– Yeah. I think all games with the Games for Windows packaging, the label, are tested on 64-bit.
Yeah, not meaning they're not necessarily optimized, but they have been tested on it. They should work faster, but, you know.
Yeah, in theory. They support it. They run natively in a 64-bit environment.
Which is nice. You know, if you do have if you do run 64-bit Vista, it is nice to know that any Games for Windows game you buy, you don't have to worry about that.
Yeah, and generally speaking, most things from any major publishers are probably going to be fine.
Yes, I would agree. Yeah, generally.
But there's, you know, there's a possibility that it hasn't been tested. So
I missed the whole
88. The last one was about, is the 9800 good for gaming? Yes, it is.
Yeah. Oh, my God, yeah. But he went over our two-question limit anyway. Nice try.
Hey, PC Gamer Podcast. This is Slayer9 from Edmonton, Alberta, and my quick question for you today is, based on what you have seen from Left 4 Dead, how does it rate against games like Team Fortress 2 and Call of Duty 4 on the awesomeness scale? Those are my current two favorite online shooters, and I'd be happy to welcome a third. Love the podcast. Keep up the good stuff.
What I can tell you for certain is that Edmonton is freezing.
That's one of the
cities on Earth.
That's why he's inside playing games all day. That's where BioWare is. So that they make good games in Edmonton.
Because they're indoors all the time. You know, they're always coding away, you know.
Yeah, so the question was about Left 4 Dead. I would rate it very highly on the awesomeness scale, personally. Having played a little bit, I haven't played since they did a major graphics upgrade. So it probably looks even better now than it did last time I played it, and it looked pretty good then. So I would rate it pretty high. It's a very different experience than either of those two games. It's more cooperative and, you know, smaller scale because we've only got four players on a team. You can play, you know, just as the humans, so it can just be like a four player game and have a complete experience. So yeah, very different from either Team Fortress 2 or Call of Duty, and, you know, very 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 original too. Well, they just pushed that back though, like a few days, like not very far. It's in order to line it up with the 10th anniversary of Half-Life's release, which is kind of cool. It's a big party at Valve.
Maybe they're just waiting for me to die so they can make me one of the zombies.
Yeah, they've got that day marked on the calendar.
So
with
if you see Logan's... an Asian zombie that looks like his head looks like a bowling ball with a little bit of hair on it, that's me. Okay. And treat me gently, please.
Yeah. At Valve, they've got that date circled with, you know, Logan and an X through.
Yeah, exactly. And don't drive when you're tired.
Hello, PC Gamer. Recently, you guys were talking about the game Mirror's Edge from Digital Illusions and EA, and you were going over how it may be difficult to play a first-person shooter that has jumping and platform elements to it, and it got me thinking about the Track IR. I don't know if you guys ever talked about the Track IR, but it's such an awesome product, and no, I don't work for the company Natural Point, by the way, who makes it. Track IR, of course, lets you use your head to look around in a game. You move left 30 degrees, say, and your view in-game will move left maybe 15 degrees. There's a great first-person shooter called Armed Assault that supports Track IR, and it lets you move one direction while you're viewing in another. I'm sure would work really well for Mirror's Edge if they decided to support it, but I guess because TrackIR doesn't have a high market penetration, they don't feel it's worth their time, which is a shame. More game developers for first-person shooters, etc. should support it. Maybe expensive, but well worth it, in my opinion. Thanks for listening. Great job with the show. Bye now.
We did review the TrackIR at one point, didn't we?
Yeah, Andy Mahood usually reviews them. I have used TrackIR. I think it's fantastic, especially if you like flight simulators. Mm-hmm. But as for I never tried it in Armed Assault, and it's interesting that it has that aspect to it. So I think I'm going to fire it up tonight and try that.
Yeah, I mean it's not that novel an idea to be able to move in one direction and shoot in another and look in another, I guess, because you can do that just by strafing. Mm-hmm. But, you know, I guess it'd be, you know, more natural to do it that way. The one, like, I've tried one out, and the one thing I don't like about it is, like, you turn your head and you're looking at the screen from the corner of your eye now. It's like,
yeah,
and then you have to, yeah. Yeah, unless you have, like, a panoramic display, like a really big display, I don't know if, like, I'd really like it that much.
It's meant for, you know, more slight motions, but you're still right. You're
right.
You know, I like having the screen, my eyes right in the center of the screen, you know?
Right. But
so that's, but
yeah, awkward. It is a cool gadget. I played with it at I think, what was it? I guess it was the most recent time it was at GDC. Yeah, why couldn't I think of GDC? GDC, the most recent GDC, I played with one, the recent version of it, and they had it hooked up to a flight sim. It was pretty cool. Mm-hmm. But just to be clear, I don't think that you can really classify Mirror's Edge as a first person shooter because you rarely use guns. It's like a first-person action game, but all of his comments apply. So.
With feet.
Yes.
Hey, PC Gamer. Love the podcast. Got two quick questions for you. First is, I got a bunch of really old Windows games, like some of the old SSI, D&D games, things like that. And instead of just throwing them away, I figured there's got to be something better I can do with them, but I really don't know. Also, I wanted to know if y'all had played a game called Mountain Blade from TaleWorlds.com. It's an indie game developed by some dude in Turkey with his wife. It's certainly not a complete game in and of itself, but it's a lot of fun. Mounted combat, you go around with your lance and run down some peasants and things like that. Anyway, I've had a lot of fun with it for a couple years. Didn't know what y'all thought about it. Keep up the good work. Thanks.
Okay, well, the first part is a really good question. What do you do with old games if you don't want them anymore or your spouse is making you get rid of them?
Besides, give them to somebody who know. I guess eBay is an option.
What's the spouse is making you get rid of them part? I don't even accept the premise.
We have I think 4 or 5 shelves filled with unbelievably classic PC games. I mean, gems, the treasure of the Aztecs, and they were brought to us by our former Strategic Command columnist Steve Klett. Because his wife drew the line. She's like, enough. She's like, if you're gonna bring in more, then all these have to go. And we got just all the MechWarrior series with the original manuals and everything. Every Star Trek game ever made. I know that's not saying a lot, but still, that included a Final Unity, which was fantastic. It was an amazing sight to behold. Do you remember, Dan, when
I do.
Those yeah all those plastic bins came in where you were like. Oh,
I download those. Yeah, so give them to PC Gamer.
Yeah.
And they'll put them on the shelf of awesome.
So, yeah, I mean, you can eBay them, but that just seems so... I don't know. There's got to be something more fitting, a better tribute, you know?
Uh-huh. You could build a shrine.
Can you draw a chalk square around the games and ask your city council to declare it a historic zone?
There you go.
And then your spouse can't make you get rid of them because that would actually be illegal.
She'd get her ass thrown in jail.
Yeah. So yeah, not a lot of help from PC Gamer on that one, but
right. I mean, just the way that classic games are becoming more available online with services like GameTap and Good Old Games and even Steam has, you know, some classics on it. Those are kind of diminished in value unless you've got like the original packaging that some collectors might want.
Yeah.
So, yeah, not a whole lot to be had there, I don't think. Other part of the question was about Mountain Blade. Haven't played it, but we are planning to do the review when it ships. I think it's supposed to come out pretty soon. I think it's due out next month. So, yeah, expect to see a review shortly, within a couple months.
It's pretty.
Yeah.
It's mount and blade, by the way, if anyone is curious over there. And you can peek at some screenshots at taleworlds.com, TaleWorlds.com, or punto com. I'm learning Spanish. That's how you say it in Spanish. Now you know. It's punto com. Yeah.
Punto is tail?
No, point. Oh. Dot. Yeah. Punto. Dot com. Punto com.
Right.
Anyway.
Hi, this is Jeff LaBelle from Fort Wayne, and had a suggestion for the podcast. I know that written reviews are kind of bread and butter of a magazine, and what I'd love to hear would be an old review, a classic review of a great game like Undying, System Shock 2, or some other great game. And just go ahead and read the review, and we can kind of hear the goods and the bad. So that's my suggestion. Thanks.
So, wow. like story time?
Was he advocating reading old reviews on the podcast? And
yeah,
I like that idea. I think there are so many great old reviews, and plus we have the benefit of hindsight. You know, we did all that. You know, we could always go back to black and white.
Yeah,
it's fantastic.
Maybe next time we have a slow week, we'll give it a try.
Yeah, I actually think that's a terrific idea because there's so many great games from the past and so many great reviews, you know, or even great reviews of bad games. I just glanced at the cover. Like, we had Blade Runner on the cover. Did anyone ever play that? That was a pretty cool game.
That was the one that was all voxely, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. And that was done by Westwood, right?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Whoa, that was good.
Hello, PC Gamer. This is Canoe Grove from Ontario, Canada. Just wanted to let you guys know, if you're not aware, that there is an XCOM game for the Pocket PC. It's freeware. Someone has recreated the whole initial XCOM game for your mobile gaming, so you guys can check that out at www.xcomufo.com. And quick question, if you guys could bring back any old gaming franchise and have it updated with the latest graphics and technology on today's PCs, what franchise it would be? Thanks, guys. Keep up the great work.
Well, he answered his own question for me, but I was actually aware of the Pocket PC XCOM. I've just never owned a Pocket PC device to play it on. Although I did just buy an MSI Wind the first thing I installed on it was UFO Defense, so the original XCOM.
I would have to go with Marathon. It was like the precursor to Halo. I'm not sure if any of you guys have played it. It was one of Bungie's first person shooters. It's the game that got me into gaming, and it's just been up on a pedestal for me ever since, because it just has such a great story and everything to it. And actually, you can go out and still play it, and they do have some updated graphics, but, you know,
They put it out for free, didn't they?
And a lot of the guys... Yeah, yeah, actually put out all of them, but a lot of the guys went out and they created new textures and stuff for it, so you can go out and actually make it look pretty passable, but, you know, again, compared to what's
still
available.
Yeah, it's still a very 2D game. You can't look up or down, right?
Well, you can, but it feels very skewed.
It wasn't, you know, initially. Like, it wasn't. It was like pre mouse control for an FPS, right? It was all arrow keys.
Yeah. It was initially all keyboard and stuff. You can play a mouse and keyboard, but, you know, again, it just doesn't feel right. Although they did remake it for Xbox Live Marathon 2, which is kind of cool. Right.
I don't understand why they haven't polished up MechWarrior and given it a new life.
Yeah, Microsoft owns the license to that. This is when they bought up FASA.
So. What's the holdup? I mean, I loved MechWarrior. The missions were fantastic, you know?
Yeah, I mean, you would think they would turn it into an Xbox game and go crazy, but...
Yeah, you know. I mean, wouldn't that be great to shine it up, you know, add, you know, just...
All kinds of bump maps everywhere?
Yeah, you know, it would be fantastic. I would love to see that one come back and just get a beautiful...
Didn't they make...
Oh,
sorry, no, I didn't mean to interrupt. But didn't they make, an original Xbox game?
I think they may have. But yeah, not in the last like 4 or 5 years.
Oh yeah,
which is, you know, damn disappointing, because, you know, big robots blowing stuff up is lots of fun.
There's calls for the Unreal 3 engine.
Yeah, and actually I would go with something bigger scale than Unreal 3. Unreal 3 seems to be better for smaller scale things. So I would go for something better at rendering large open area environments. But but what? Like that's one of the most frequent emails we get is like, why isn't there a new MechWarrior game?
Yeah.
And answer, we don't really know. It baffles us too, because Microsoft is often stupid.
You know, another one that I would love to see polished up is, and I know that technically it's still a franchise, but Soldier of Fortune, not the latest one. What was that? Right. Payback.
That doesn't even count.
Yeah, but the first, I loved the original Soldier of Fortune, and if you know, you gave that with all the location based damage and stuff like that, but it was not even that pretty a game when it came out, right. And it's really butt ugly now. but it was just a great gritty shooter like Max Payne, you know.
Right, and it predated like any game with bullet time. But what you could do in that was there was a cheat that lets you slow down time. So I spent hours in that game just going and slowing down time and going brr, 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 with a heavy machine gun, and just I could take a guy into shoot him into 9 parts before he hit the ground. It was great. Yeah.
No, go ahead, please. Sorry.
Because you could blow off the hands, blow off the elbow, at the shoulder, and then I think the torso, the head came off. I think the torso was all one piece. Maybe it broke
the
off.
The torso opened up.
Yeah, you just kept shooting.
Like, stuff came out. Yeah,
and you just kept getting worse.
Then you could shoot at the ankle, the knee, and the hip. So you get 9 pieces of.
And you'd see bone fragments coming out of the R. You'd be like,
that was some good gore.
Classic gaming, you know, and it was, you know, no big sci-fi story to pep things up. It was just grit, you know.
Yeah, it was like a mercenary storyline, right?
Exactly.
A lot of the old second franchises. One was, the second Soldier of Fortune was actually kind of cool.
It was okay. It wasn't as good as the first one. I thought they kind of sped it up way too much like action everywhere, fray kind of thing. I didn't like the pacing as much.
Mm-hmm. You know what? That reminds me of a really underrated shooter from years ago that, you know, it's worth poking around the bargain bin for. It was called Chaser. Mm. And it was a great Soldier of Fortune with a little extra sci-fi thrown in. Definitely not gory, as gory. And yes, the character models are repeated over and over and over again. But it had great AI, and it was a super fun, very, very fast-paced first-person shooter. Big recommendation.
How about you guys?
I can't think of anything.
It's like weird. Totally
lame.
No,
I'm
trying to think of a franchise that I'd like to see reinvigorated, but it seems like a lot of these really good franchises have kind of come back. Because I was like,
a lot of them are being
reinvigorated. Yeah, my go-to answer has typically always been Wasteland, which is this brilliant Commodore 64 RPG from Interplay back in the 80s. But it did kind of get a spiritual successor in Fallout, in the first Fallout game. It was kind of the sequel to Wasteland in all but name. And obviously you've got Fallout 3 coming, so it's kind of already there, but that would, I'd like to see a pure sequel. A pure remake of Wasteland would be awesome.
Oh man, Alien versus Predator.
Okay, yeah, that's a good one.
Oh,
no, the first one.
But they are doing
the first one was so good.
Yeah.
The other ones were not so great.
For that matter, what about Jedi Knight? There hasn't been one of those in a while.
Yes, that would be really cool.
Well, they are.
Well, you got Force Unleashed coming?
Yeah,
right, but not for PC.
And then Marathon,
Duke Nukem.
We would like to see that come back eventually. I guess Deus Ex is coming back.
Yeah.
What else is there? Wing Commander. Wing Commander would be a good one.
I would actually love to see a game like Wing Commander, like a really good hard action space combat sim. Why don't they make those anymore? With today's technology, that would be awesome.
Yeah, no, nobody seems to make put the money in to make a good one anymore. I mean, CDV did Dark Star 1, or published it a while back, and that one, I guess, had some major issues. I never actually played it, but
this is why nobody bothers to make good flight sticks anymore, because there's no games for them.
Right. I mean, there hasn't been an X-Wing game in ages.
Yeah, that's a.
But you know. I think one of the reasons why nobody makes good flight sticks anymore is because so many great ones were made in the past, and people are fine with them.
Right, you can't really improve on them too much.
I mean, they were really well made, you know, some of the best ones. And I have a flight stick, even though I don't do flight simulators that often, but, you know, I have the one I bought 10 years ago, and it still works great.
Right. Well, you know, it's nice to have a USB one, but beyond that.
Yeah.
I think actually that would be my answer now. I think I'd say Wing Commander or X-Wing, because they just... Right. It's not even about those particular franchises needing to come back, but just that whole type of game. Those games are so great, and nobody makes them anymore.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's hard to believe that not enough people bought some of the like that kind of game to justify making a new one, because like they were so great, and there were a lot of great ones.
It's weird because, I mean, you know, it's certainly on the PC at least, and probably really on all, across all formats, X-Wing and TIE Fighter were pretty much the best games that LucasArts ever made. And, you know, they did X-Wing versus TIE Fighter, which is, you know, probably about 10 years ago, and they've done, and then they let the franchise die.
Well, LucasArts didn't actually make those. Those were Totally Games, right?
Yeah, but Lucas owns the rights, and they could get them made again, either in-house or with a developer. I mean, what's the problem?
Yeah, it really shouldn't be that hard, but I guess one of the reasons they didn't, like, we asked them about it several years ago when they were putting out the Jump to Lightspeed expansion for Star Wars Galaxies, and they were saying, well, you know, we don't want to put out another flight sim that would compete with this, so. But
well,
I can't imagine that
much about that, do they?
Yeah, I wouldn't think that would be that big an issue anymore. So who knows? Maybe behind closed doors somewhere they're working on it. They really should be. I bet another reason was they wanted to like concentrate on like the prequel stuff. But
well, that's what's going to suck. You know that they're going to, you know, they'll do a new one, but it will be like shitty Clone Wars droid fights or something that nobody's interested in.
I wouldn't mind a revival of the No One Lives Forever series.
Yeah.
Okay.
That was fantastic.
That would be amazing. Yeah.
And I'm not talking about. Don't even. I, you know, cut that whole. Cut the name of the game I just set out.
I'll just bleep it.
I don't even want people to know that exists because it was such an abomination.
You guys remember 13?
Yeah, that associated game.
Yeah, that was that was a pretty fun one. I wouldn't mind seeing more of.
I didn't get it.
Yeah, it was okay. I mean,
yeah, it was all right, but I didn't.
The story
really
was wonky, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, I like the art style.
Yeah,
I think more people should do cel-shaded stuff, which is one of the reasons I'm looking forward to Champions Online. But
the new Prince of Persia has that look to it, too.
Yeah, it has a really interesting look.
Yeah, although I watched some of the gameplay footage of that. Yeah.
Ceiling running.
Yeah, I mean, like the stuff where you've got a buddy, like the girl following you around, and then like every jump, every long jump you make, you do some kind of magic trick where you extend your jump somehow using your buddy. I don't even get it. What's supposed to be happening there? You know, and just the fact that they used it like five times in this like 5 minute demo. It's like that's kind of gimmicky and annoying, but it looks pretty. I'll give it that.
And then Marathon is great.
And Marathon. Okay, so that's about all the time we got today.
Oh, MDK. Sorry, one more.
And that's about all the time we've got today. We got to run through our usual things. Andy, what's the number people can call in to leave us a short but sweet message?
It's the number to the podcast voicemail is 1-877-404-1337, extension 724.
And alternatively, you can record your own MP3 and email it to pcgamerpodcast@gmail.com. You can join the PC Gamer family by going to gamesradar.com/PC and looking for the subscribe tab on the left. We have our Showdown LAN event coming up very soon. That's just a couple weeks away, right? Right,
yep.
Logan? Yeah. Yeah, so check that out if you're in the Bay Area, the San Francisco Bay Area. There's one in San Mateo, there's one in Worcester, Massachusetts, and one in Peoria. Is that New York? That's New York, right?
Illinois.
Peoria, Illinois.
Oh, Illinois. Yeah. What am I thinking? Yeah.
Me do
geography good.
There's a Peoria in New York, but it's a little convenience store. So,
okay. And the interview with somebody from Crytek, it may not be Shavat Yearly, but somebody from Crytek we're going to have next week, barring any further injuries. So you can keep sending in questions about Crisis Warhead to PCGamerPodcast.com. So for myself, Logan Decker, Gary Witta, Andy Salisbury and Andy Bauman, we'll see you all next week.
Unless I've died and
turned into a zombie.
Whoa, that was awesome.
That was crazy. What was that?
What happened?
My voice came back at me.
Yeah,
But like deeper and like with more something.
That was awesome.
Weird. And it was well timed too, because unless I've died and turned into a zombie.
Yeah.
Turned into a zombie. You didn't hear that, Gary?
That's pretty metal.
Maybe I was the source of it. I don't know what I did.
It was terrifying. It was like the minute I said turn into a zombie, like it was like a bigger version of my voice. Turn into a zombie.
Wow, that was cool.
So a quick playlist, everybody. Logan, what are you playing?
Crisis. And I've learned that, I mean, a lot of people are like, I don't get this whole Crisis thing. What's the big deal? And I'm like, you got to use the suit. You got to get out there. Cloak, uncloak, use strength. Throw people around. Throw them through, you know, corrugated steel. The more you use the suit, the more fun you have in the game. But you got to push yourself to get out there and take risks. That's where all the action is. And that's my Crisis tutorial.
I guess my only issue with that style of play is that there wasn't enough suit energy. It's like I would try and do that.
That is, yeah, you got
and like punching somebody takes up like half of your energy.
Yeah, and then uncloaking, running, punching, and then, I mean, by then you've got nothing.
Yeah, and then you have no armor.
Then you go scoot away and hide beneath a rock, you know.
Right. So yeah, I always did play a little bit more cautiously with you know, cloaking and, you know, popping out, maybe picking one guy up and throwing him into another guy, but yeah.
Yeah.
Gaz, what are you playing? Gaz? Excuse him?
All we hear is
he's still on the call.
Yeah.
Should we call like an ambulance or something?
What do you think he's been playing?
Oh yeah, what do we think he's been playing? It's probably Team Fortress 2, I'd guess.
Yeah, he's probably playing some TF2.
I wonder if he's playing the new Strong Bad game. Could be. I mean, you can't say he's not because you don't know that.
We cannot rule it out. That's true. Let's look at his Steam profile.
You know, Hello Kitty is on open beta right now. There's a live like MMO type game they're developing. Yeah, so I hear that. I mean, he could be doing that.
Okay, he just ironed me to say he's on the phone, so that explains it.
Oh, cool.
Okay, in the meantime, Andy Salisbury, what are you playing?
I have been playing a lot of WoW, actually, lately. I've been staying up till goodness knows how late each night playing, because I'm leveling a hunter now, and he's up to level 62, so that would be my fourth 70. I'm kind of disgusted to say that.
Wow.
And at the risk of a following suit of what I was saying earlier about Marathon, I've actually went out and re-downloaded the source code called Aleph 1 that you can use to play it. And my it's called Aleph 1, A-L-E-P-H-O-N-E. It allows you to play just through the old files. And my dad, the person who originally got me into it, and I have been playing it, and we've been going through the co-op, so it's really fun.
And Andy Bauman, what have you been playing?
I finished Beyond Good and Evil finally. It took me a long stretch of time to finally
grind it.
I love it. Love it.
At the end boss where you're all like reversed and shit.
I was going to bring up the fact that the end boss was pissing me off.
Yeah, but that was crazy.
It felt good at the end. It's like one of those things where you're like, I don't have time for this these days. You're like, I'm too old for this. But then you like just grind it out and like concentrate, take some bong hits and just and then you
did
it out.
Did you tear up when you saw Paige's boots? I did. I seriously got tears in my eyes when
I felt
that,
is that a spoiler alert, by the
spoiler,
way?
Yeah.
Not really. I mean, I didn't.
I have no idea what he's talking about, so it's hard to.
Yeah.
You know when the controls reverse on you, I felt really smart. I was like, you know what? F this. I'm just gonna turn my keyboard upside down.
Whoa, you're elite. But then they reverse again, don't they?
No. I think that's the last sequence.
Yeah. Well done. Well played.
So Gary had to run onto the phone, but we do have his Steam profile up here, which says that over the last 2 weeks, he's played 22.5 hours of Team Fortress 2. So that's a
good
pretty good evaluation. I don't imagine he has time to play a whole lot else.
The last 22.5 hours of his youth.
I've been playing, like I said earlier, some colonization. I've also been playing Mercenaries 2 World in Flames for review. And yeah, that's about it. Not a whole lot of time for anything else at this point. Because those are two very time consuming games.
I'm back. Do you still need me?
Gary, what have you been playing this week?
I've been playing the new Tiger Woods PGA Tour 09.
Oh, see, we never guessed that. We were trying to guess what games we've been playing, and that was not in our list.
It's actually, if you know me, it's not a difficult one to guess at all. Tiger Woods and FIFA are the two sports franchises that I religiously pick up every year.
Uh-huh.
Tiger has been a bit of a fickle mistress over the last few years. 06 and 07, I really liked both of those. And then 08, most people agreed, was kind of a backward step. They dropped the ball a little bit and wasn't very well liked. A few weird design decisions and some technical glitches as well that pissed a lot of people off. And then 09 came out, and they've actually fixed a lot of that stuff. And it's good. I've enjoyed it. The photo game face feature, just as last year, is still a nightmare to deal with. I did finally manage to get my face imported into the game, and of course it always looks like a slightly, deformed version of yourself. I'm not quite sure how I feel about it, but, you know, it's nice to see yourself in the game.
What was the other game?
That's pretty much it. I mean, I don't have much else to report. I've been playing, you know, I picked up Tiger the other day, and usually when that comes out, I kind of devote all my energies, my gaming energies, to you know, you got to level up and get your skills going. They finally added a new online mode where everybody can shoot at once. So if you've got four players, you know, you don't have to wait and watch, you know, three people, you know, arsing about and taking their shots. You can all shoot at once, you know, with a little colored ball trails, so you can see, you know, everyone's shot is going at the same time, which means you can play an online round in, like, you know, a quarter of the time it would usually take. So that was a much needed feature. The first column I ever wrote, my first backspace column I ever wrote for PC Gamer, was about the Tiger Woods game that I had bought that year. I think it might have been 06. So yeah, I'm a Tiger guy, and when FIFA comes out in a month or so, that I'll be a FIFA guy. Those are the games that I like.
Call him back in. See if he picks up.
All right.
Let's sing him happy birthday.
Hey, Gaz, you there?
What?
We forgot to do playlists.
Happy birthday
to you.
I think that's actually the other guy you were talking about whose birthday was.
Well, no, but I wanted to sing happy birthday to Gary. I don't even know when his birthday is.
My birthday, you missed it. It was last month.
Oh, you jerks. Oh.
Logan is apparently high. So, yeah.
Look, I'm not driving, all right? Oh, okay. I am. Sorry.
He's not a pro gamer. Whatever.
What do Europeans do that would hurt their feet? Like, nothing.
We got drunk in a bar. You'll still be limited? Yeah. Logan is having phlegm issues.
Excuse me. Sorry. Wait, did he mean, like, on the podcast? Read it?
Like, we lost you, Logan.
Take the review and just read it word for word in a funny voice.
Can you hear me now?
Nope.
Yeah. I can hear you.
Sorry. How about this? No?
Yeah. Nope. I can hear you.
Cock.
We can It'd be funny if you did it like those dramatic readings that you get online.
Yeah, like the YTMND ones were like, and now we read a breakup letter. But it's like, now you read the review for System Shock 2.
I can't hear anyone else either. Hello?
Hello? Can anyone hear me?
Can anyone hear me?
Holy shit.
Can they hear me?
Yeah.
Yeah, I can hear you.
Somebody said they could hear me.
I can't hear them. What the hell's going on?
Can somebody hear me?
What? I figured out what happened. Okay.
What happened to the future?
No, stupid volume control on this headset. The little volume knob on there. Got rubbed against something.
This will sneak up on you.
Sorry, where were we?
Yeah, where were we? Hey! No! We don't need that.
Oh, my bad.
What was that?
We don't have Shavat Yearly from Crytek this week, as we promised, due to a foot injury. We don't have Shavat Yearly from Crytek this week due to a foot injury, but we do have some news on Nvidia and a whole load of why can't I speak?
What the?
Break it up!
Jesus.
Is that a signal from another planet?
Chinese fireworks storm.
We can try and decipher it.
Enhance the signal.
That, what?
Zoom in. Enhance.
Scan for life forms.
Oh, that reminds me of that movie Contact, remember? And then they're like, decode it. It's Hitler.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, sorry. Spoiler alert.
Then why did they record static for 10 minutes? All right.
One, two, three, into the four. Intern Andy has taken the rap floor.
Oh, shit.
Me go. I'm playing WoW right now, and I'm not riding a cow, but mages can polymorph, but they still can't cow. Oh, look, it's a dwarf. And look, there's another shadow priest, and they're overpowered because they slow me down, messing up my feet. And I'm out.
Unless I've died and turned into a
zombie. Turned into a zombie. Turned into a zombie.
Unless I've died and turned into a zombie.